Before I start this podcast, I just want to give out a website regarding Erin. Erin's been a frequent guest on this podcast, and she is one of my closest, dearest, and best friends. She lost her apartment due to a fire, and she has a GoFundMe page and is currently accepting donations so she can get back on her feet. So if you have a chance to donate, you can check out her page at gofundme.com/erin-needs-things. So that's erin-needs-things, and that's gofundme.com/erin-needs-things. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the podcast. This is brilliant, and I don't know why it's not timeless, because it really should be. This is a parody of an awesome song. It's a parody of the song We Are Young by Fun, but it's by a sketch comedy group called Yahoo's Sketchy Comedy. Now, this was released, I think, around 2012, and I tried to click on the link to Sketchy Comedy's website, and it just goes to Yahoo, and it says, the page you're looking for isn't here. Try searching above. And that's kind of a letdown, because I do that sometimes. I'll search for people that I knew or people that did something of note like 10 years ago, and then they just aren't doing anything or working a regular job or something can't be found. But I really want to talk about this. I didn't plan on talking about it, but then I was at work, and this goes into everything later, that the fact that I brought this up at work. But and I was talking to one of my coworkers about this. We were talking about getting older and I just mentioned this sketch. And I had We Are Young in my head as well, because I am getting old. Because while driving to work, the song came on, so it made me think of this parody. And I always have a song in my head, and, you know, We Are Young is in my head right now, and now this parody is in my head. So the song is about getting older, and the lyrics in the song take place 10 years after graduating college, so they're in their 30s right now. Just based on the lyrics of this song, and now that I'm in my 40s, I could still relate to the writer of this song being in his or her or their 30s. I'm going to go through the lyrics bit by bit. I'm going to try not to cry. And there's also, as well as the song parody, there's also a video parody that's awesome. And just because I don't recognize any of the actors in this sketch, or I couldn't find anything about the sketchy Yahoo Sketchy Comedy troupe, it doesn't mean these people aren't working. It's just that I don't know anything about them, and I really hope they are. They deserve to work as much as possible. Anyway, so I'm going to go bit by bit, lyric by lyric, to this song. So it starts off with give me a second, I don't have time, it's getting late. I'm starting to crack already. My friends are all parents now. Not all parents, but I have friends who are parents. And I'm not naming any names here, and I don't want to generalize, but I think I'm going to generalize. They're fucking tired. They're tired. My friends who are parents are tired, because not only are they parents, they have to work jobs. I work a job, and I'm tired. So imagine coming home to a kid or kids, and they have so much energy, and they're screaming, and they're yelling. And you have to deal with the kids. Now, I like kids. Kids are fun. But I get to go home. You know? You hang out with them for a little bit, you play some games, and it's like, all right, I'm going home. And then I'm tired after that. So it's like, wow, listen, it's great exercise to hang out with kids. Now, I understand. Now, my friends who are parents, they'll say that they're... I worked late last night. They'll say that they're tired. I'm not drunk, I swear. I'm really not. I'm... Blah. They say that they're tired, and they are. And they'll say that they're stressed, and they are. And the fact that you're tired and stressed and you have this gigantic responsibility puts stress on your marriage too. And that comes with other things. Maybe you're not having sex as much. Maybe you're arguing. Maybe you just want to fucking sleep, but you can't because your kids are up. So, and then they'll counter that by saying, oh, it's the best thing in the world. Best thing that ever happened to me was my kid. And I believe them. I believe them. I understand that feeling you get. I don't have any kids. I don't think I plan to have any kids. You know, I'm not saying no, but listen, I'm 41, and I'll get into that later. But I understand. The closest that I came to that was the very first time I held my nephew. It was 10 years ago. He was like, God, maybe a week old. And I've never really held a baby like that, not really. I guess I held my little cousins when they were younger. But when I held my nephew for the first time, like, I'm a very anxious person. I always feel some kind of butterflies in my stomach, like, all the time, even when I'm relaxed. Even when I'm feeling great, you know, it's always there. So when I held my nephew for the first time and I looked at him, and he was sleeping, he didn't really look at me, but just holding him, like, the anxiety went away. The butterflies went away. And I think it was just a buildup of oxytocin. I had a bond with him, and I felt really great. And I understand that feeling, and I understand the feeling of purpose and responsibility. It's just a huge responsibility, you know, for those great moments that are also stressful moments. I'm not saying not to have kids. I'm saying that if you do plan to have kids, just make sure you know you're getting into both the good and the bad. So I do have friends who are parents now. Dinner parties with cheese plates. I mean, there's been a lot of dinner parties. I don't know if there's been cheese. There probably have been cheese plates. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, it's like, I don't want to go to someone's house. I want to go to a bar. I want to go to a club. But now, you know, when the 30s hit, mid-30s, it's like, oh, well, let's go to this person's house. They're having dinner and a party. They're having a dinner party, and there's going to be drinks, and there's going to be a lot of dinner. Either we'll get takeout, or I have friends who are amazing cooks, so they cook stuff. Then you get to chill out and sit and talk and laugh. And I remember when I was a kid, my parents were in their 30s, they had dinner parties, and their friends were over, and they were laughing, and I'm like, wow, what is this adult thing going on? And they're all laughing, and why do they smell so funny? It's because they were drinking. And why are they acting so weird? It's because they were drunk. So I have fond memories of that, because they were having fun. And now I'm older than what my parents were, and I am that adult right now, because my friends who have kids, you know, we have to whisper because we can't say anything too personal because we don't want the kids to tell and talk about things. Man, what is going on? I'm like in a time warp, and this is surreal talking about this. Okay, so the next line is, my girlfriend, she is waiting for me to buy a diamond ring. Now, I've never been in that position to be pressured to buy a diamond ring for any of the girlfriends I've had. I'm single now. But I do know of an instance where I had friends who... The woman in the couple would wave her hand in front of him. So they are married now, and they are happily married. But I immediately thought of that when I read that lyric, and I was like, oh, my God. Now, I would imagine he planned on doing it anyway, but it's just like, man, it's like marriage and that kind of commitment. Even though you can get divorced, there's something so permanent about marriage, because if you do decide to get divorced, the stress behind that. And I have friends who are divorced, and it's so stressful. And I have friends going through separations and going through divorces and going through fighting. Like, pre-separation stuff, and it sounds horrible, and it makes me glad that I'm single, even though I'm really lonely. But man, the amount of stress. So I think there's a happy medium between this. You can have great, excellent, fulfilling relationships, but the fact that the diamond ring and getting married, man, it's a commitment. And you have to realize that if you plan to get married by the time you're 30s, in your 30s, you're going to be with this woman or man by the time you die, or, you know, a trans partner, anywhere on the spectrum, you're going to be with this person until you die. And hopefully that'll be until when you're 100. That's a long time. It's a long time. Been together, okay, so my girlfriend, she is waiting for me to buy a diamond ring. Been together 8 years now. Feel like I'm settling. Wow. Wow. You know, I've had friends right before they're getting married. Some of them, the day before their wedding, turned to me and said, "Do you think I'm doing the right thing?" And I looked at them. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what?" I said, "It's the day before your wedding. Don't you think this should have been decided?" But, you know, you fall into that trap. Marriage is a trap. There are traps in life. A friend of mine, he gave me a bunch of rules to go by. And I think I go by all of them. But there are certain traps in life. The first trap is marriage. Don't get married. Second trap is don't have kids. Third trap is don't buy a house. And the fourth trap is don't have any pets. The moral of these four traps is that you want the least amount of responsibility as possible to lead, I haven't had my coffee yet, to lead a truly happy life. So, and I know of people who have been in situations where, you know, they get married and then, you know, a couple weeks later, the marriage ends. You know, you see the note by the person who broke up the marriage and they write, you know, "All I wanted to do was plan a perfect marriage. And all I wanted to do was plan a perfect engagement. All I wanted to do was have the perfect, you know, spouse. But it wasn't what I wanted." So that feeling that you're settling, but it's like, well, if I get married, I settle. But if I don't, if I break this up, I'm going to be alone. And what's out there? And that means I have to look. And just the act of looking is just stressful enough. So along with your job, maybe you have a kid, you're looking. You're looking for someone now. You know, dating is kind of like going on job interviews. And, you know, it's hard to meet someone. And loneliness is such a drag, to quote Jimi Hendrix. But, you know, the loneliness weighs on you. So you want to weigh out, you know, do you want to be less unhappy being together with someone who you feel that you're settling with, or do you want to be lonely? I would choose loneliness because at least I can get out of the loneliness trap. It's harder to get out of the settling trap. The next lyric is, you know that college was 10 years ago. College was 20 years ago for me. And I didn't even like college. So when I look back on that, it's with regret. Like, I wish I went to a different college. I wish I took a different major. And, you know, I wish I graduated with a business degree. And I graduated in 1999, and the economy was booming. Jobs were being handed out like candy on Halloween. We didn't have to worry about anything. It's like, you want a job? Here's a job. There were too many jobs going on. And I graduated with a business degree, a bachelor's of business administration, with a concentration in marketing and a minor in music merchandising. I was going to go in the music business, and this is one thing I didn't regret. Right after I graduated college, I just started pursuing acting, which is what I really wanted to do. I didn't get a normal 9-to-5 job. That didn't start until 7 years later. But my job was going to be in the music industry, so I graduated the music industry, you know, and I probably could have gotten a job at a record label, but I decided the acting bug bit me. And but after acting was quote unquote over, when I didn't want to pursue it anymore, I said, well, let me get a normal job. And I said, well, let me go back to the music industry because that's what my degree is in. And, you know, by 2007, the music industry was, you know, it's kind of still around, but it's not like it was. Jobs weren't being handed around. I was volunteering at certain places. They call it adult internships, but no, it's just you're going to be working for free, hopefully making some connections, but you're going to be working for free. And that was very, very disheartening. So my advice is to all you people in college or going to college, you know, pursue what you want, even if there's no chance in getting it, pursue that 100%, but you know, really go for it. But there's a big but here, and I like big buts, but I cannot lie. Big but, the big but is that you need a viable backup plan here. So if I had to do it again, you know, I would study acting. I didn't study acting. I just kind of started doing it. But my viable backup plan would have been, you know, I would have studied psychology because I really like psychology and been a therapist or a social worker or something because, you know, I really like helping people in that regard and understanding how people think. But I didn't. And I wish I did. And I'd like to go back and do it. But the way money is and time, it's, you talk about stress, man, you know. Maybe someday when college is free or more affordable, vote Bernie Sanders, please. Anyway, well, I mean, he's not running now, but vote someone like him in 2020. You know, maybe we can be on our way to that because it sucks. It sucks out here, man. So viable backup plan when you can in college. So you know that college was 10 years ago. I know you're trying to forget. Yeah, forget that you're getting old and time has gone by and it's like, wait a minute, college was 20 years ago? That can't be. What happened? I think of the Talking Head song, Once in a Lifetime. I didn't like it when the song first came out. I was a little kid when it first came out. The video was kind of freaky. It was goofy. But man, I listen to that song now and it's fucking great. It's one of the best songs ever. It's like, I remember I was working a customer service job. It was right when I, you know, decided to get a real job after not pursuing acting as a career anymore. And I was working customer service for a little bit, and I was doing customer service through email, answering angry customers' questions through email. And then they moved me to phones, and I was chained to my desk or my table because I was working from home. And it would just make me so angry. There were some times where I'd be talking to customers and I'd bang, I'd go like this. I'd bang on my desk, on my table, while I was talking to the person because they made me so angry. And they would say, "What's going on? What was that bang?" And I would tell them, "Oh, there's construction guys working here. I'm sorry for that. How can I help you?" It was really bad. So anyway, yeah, so the Talking Head song, we were having a meeting over the phone because I worked from home, and I was talking to my supervisor. It's a group of customer service reps, and we got moved to phones, and I actually said in the meeting, I said, "It's just, I didn't ask to be moved to phones, and now it's like, you know that Talking Head song, Once in a Lifetime? I say to myself, how did I get here?" I said that during the meeting. I had the job for maybe a couple more months, and then I moved on to do something else. I forgot. Oh, I think I temped. And then from the temp job, I got a permanent job. And I stayed at that job for like 7 years, which, you know, wasn't fulfilling, but it paid the bills. That's another thing. Jobs that aren't fulfilling. Oh, it's just horrible. It's just mind-numbing and soul-stealing. I don't even believe in a soul. But it's not a place to be. I worked in a cubicle Ville for a while. I work at a restaurant now, so it's not that anymore. I'm walking around, everybody I work with is cool, the customers are cool, everybody's having a good time, so that's at least good. Depression and anxiety has come on strong since 33, has made it hard not to crack. Depression and anxiety very much. I mean, I've had depression and anxiety for, you know, since I was a teenager, but it comes with more anxiety than depression. I'm just always just like, but I have many friends now going through this who have always had it in some way, but, you know, as you get older and as your dreams aren't being fulfilled and you're looking back, which is the worst thing to do, look back and regret. And I do that too many times. You know, it's good to look back and try and to learn from things that you've done, but I do that way too many times where it's like, man, why didn't I do this, or why did I do that? And then just anxiety is just about, you know, worrying about the future. So it's like, oh my God, if I do this, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and then I'm going to die alone. You know, you catastrophize. So the older you get, it's like, wait a minute, I'm stuck at this job I don't want to be at for at least 8 hours a day, not counting the long commute and stressful commute, and I'm on Long Island, and the fucking traffic sucks. Nowadays, even if it's not during rush hour, there is just always traffic now, and it's horrible, and it's stressful, and thank goodness for Sirius Satellite Radio. At least I can listen to Howard Stern or Tom Hartman or music, a variety of music, and then I can switch to my own music, and at least we have that, or I can talk to someone on the phone. But it's horrible, and then you realize that most of your life is spent in a place where you don't want to be, doing things you don't want to do in order to make money to try and do things that you want to do, but you're too tired to do the things you want to do because you're working this fucking job all the time. The next line, so if by the time I'm 40 and I'm still a waiter here, I'm killing myself tonight. I am 41 and I am, well, not a waiter yet. I am a waiter in training. I have experience in the restaurant industry because when I was acting, I did it for 6 years. I bartended as a bartender. So the place where I work now, they train you in all aspects of the hospitality industry. So before I get trained as a bartender, I have to get trained as a food runner, as a bar back, and as a server. And the place where I work is very, very involved. A lot of craft cocktails. The drinks are very elaborate. I mean, they're really good. A lot of craft beer, so you have to be knowledgeable about whiskey and beer and a little bit of vodka. And the food we have is very hearty and savory, so you have to be knowledgeable about that. So I've been there about a month and a half, and job's good, and the people there are fantastic. My bosses are great. The culture there is really good. So I'm lucky in that regard. But that line, so if by the time I'm 40, I'm still a waiter here, I'm killing myself tonight. It's very rare that someone wants to be a waiter. You know, there are people who want to be in the hospitality industry and they want to learn all aspects and to be a manager or general manager, end up running their own place someday. And that's great. But, I think most people who are waiters, it wasn't their life's plan. You know, when you ask them when you were a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? Rarely does someone say, I want to be a waiter. It's just something you fall into. And I find that a lot of my coworkers, some of them go to school and they balance that, but there's a few there who, you know, were musicians, artists. Some don't really know what they want to do, you know, and they're, you know, some mid-20s ranging to early 40s. Writers, and this is just a way to make money, and they do it, and they do it well because they're very personable people and nice people, and the money's good, and the place is really busy all the time, and but it's not what they want. It's not what they want. So while they have a good time at the job, and it is a good time at the job, it's a lot of work, a lot of things going on at once. There's that, at least I sense, and maybe I'm projecting, just there's that subtext of want and there's subtext of unfulfillment, and unfulfillment's scary and it's horrible. So I understand that sentiment, not literally killing myself. You know, when someone says, oh, I'm going to kill myself, then most of the time they don't really mean that. You know, it's just a figure of speech. So if by the time I'm 40, I'm still a waiter here, I'm killing myself tonight. And then the chorus is, we are not young. We're all somewhere in our 30s. And nothing worthy, this ain't fun. So yeah, I mean, it's that feeling of worthlessness and unfulfillment. And the more, I think the older you get, the less idealistic you are. And the greatest thing about being young, in your teens, in your 20s, you have this this enthusiastic naivete, you know, this youthful excitement and exuberance. It's like, I'm taking over the world and the world is mine, and we're going to show this world a thing or two and we're going to change it. You know, and the older you get, the more that gets stripped away. And it's, I think, in my case, the want to do something positive and to change things is still there, but it comes with a little more realism. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, and you really have to work hard to do it all the time, especially now with Trump being president. We have to work even harder. And by we, I'm a proud liberal and progressive and leftist. I don't care what you call me, in the Bernie Sanders ilk. So because of what and who we have in government, you know, we have to work even harder. And that takes a lot of work, you know, even if it's just calling your congressperson, you know, at least do that, you know, once a day, call your congressperson, join like Daily Action Facebook page. Indivisible has some great things. Move On has some great things. So there is worth in there, but it just, things become more realistic because stuff's not given to you most of the time. So it's about, you know, using that naivete and turning it into something real and still striving for what you're doing, providing you're not tired because you have kids. So I get to sleep at least, and I love sleep. Sleep is wonderful. Please try to sleep as much as you can. Do not have the alarm wake you up. You want to get a full night's sleep where there's no alarm. You want to just wake up on your own. So, and nothing worthy, this ain't fun. Tonight, we're not young. I guess that I'll learn Photoshop, maybe I'll sell pot, start a blog. So, you know, the Photoshop, selling pot, start a blog, it's ways to, one, try to make some quick money. I don't even know if Photoshop is what it was. This was in 2012, so things are a lot different now. Sell pot, way to make money, preferably in a place where it's legal to everyone. Start a blog. You can make money starting a blog. You can make money starting a podcast, but the competition is so great. But I will say, stuff like Photoshop, even selling pot, I guess, and starting a blog, it gives you purpose. So these lyrics are, you know, people trying to find purpose. And this is funny stuff, but it's also kind of sad and real and hard-hitting and heart-wrenching at the same time. So the next lyrics are, now I know that I'm fat. Shut up about that. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not just people who are getting older. I guess, you know, because you don't have time. You're working so much, you have kids, you don't have time to exercise because you just want to go home and rest. So trying to get exercise in, I mean, exercise is very important. And eating right is very important. But sometimes, you know, you don't have time for that. So you know, you just grab something quick, you grab fast food. That's why they call it fast food. And grab a lot of fast food because probably you're so depressed about your job that the way to handle that depression is to eat, because eating is good and it tastes good and it makes you feel good to eat. The last thing you want to do when you get home from that job is work out. So you want to try and exercise early in the morning, but then you're fucking tired because you didn't get that much sleep. You had to get up early to work out. So you get home and you're tired from work. When I worked at the office job, I would just look at a fucking computer all day and my eyes would just be so heavy. And that's why when you work at a job at a desk and a computer, you want to stand. And if you can't stand, I can't stand it. But if you can't stand at work, you know, every half hour, get up and walk around for at least 5 minutes. It is not good for you to sit. It's not good for you to look at that computer screen because it affects your eyes. I would come home with just eye strain all the time. And I was tired. I was tired. I didn't even do anything. Now, I can work like, you know, a 10-hour shift at the bar, the restaurant where I work, and I'm moving around. I'm walking literally 7 or 8 miles, you know, just moving around that restaurant. And I guess I'm a little physically tired, but I'm not, I don't have that strain on my face, which is horrible. So again, I have a little more time than people who are married and have kids, because, you know, I can have a workout schedule when I can. Like, my job schedule is different each week, so it's just finding time to work out, getting sleep, working out, and eating healthy. And I spend 3-4 hours a week, you know, just preparing food. You know, one day a week, I cook all my food for the week, and then I separate everything, you know, the protein, fat, carbohydrates, and it takes, and I hate it. It takes a long time. It takes around 3 hours to do. Then I got to wash all the dishes, and I don't have a dishwasher, so I got to wash everything by hand. You know, it's worth it because I feel good, but it does take a lot of time. You know, there are other things I'd rather be doing, like this podcast, than doing that. But you know, I have to eat. So yeah. Someone could get fat just based on eating unhealthy all the time. You know, it's okay to eat healthy some of the time. I mean, unhealthy some of the time, but and then working out. You know, you want to. You know, those two things help you stay in the best shape or the best health, really, as possible. So now I know that I'm fat. Shut up about that. I guess I'll do the elliptical. Maybe I can finally do that yoga class. And on the video, it's the person looking at like a yoga flyer. So, you know, I have friends who do yoga, and I've done it, and I did it for like a year, not at a class, but from home, and then I've done a couple of hot yoga classes. Maybe it's because I can't touch my toes and I'm so not flexible, but it's just not a thing. It's just not my thing. I just want to do my workout and then just have it just be over with. You know, I do a kettlebell workout and then I do some running. It takes maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, and then I'm done. I just hate working out. It's a necessary evil. I just want to do it. I like the results from it. But I don't want to do it, but it's something you have to do, you know? So again, it's another thing I don't want to do that takes the time away from things I do want to do. And that sucks. You know, I look back when I was a kid, and I was always bored. Always bored. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Always. And I would love to be bored right now. I would love to have that amount of time. You know, youth is certainly wasted on the young. You know, I have friends who look back and they go, oh man, we were young. It was so great. I wish we could go back to when we were young. And part of me agrees with that. But then there's another part where it's like, you know, you're romanticizing that era of us growing up. You forget about the times we spent bored out of our minds. Bored. There was nothing for us to do. We grew up in the suburbs of Long Island. We were horribly bored, you know, and we all had our issues to deal with too. So I think times like that, you know, people watch Stranger Things and all the 80s stuff and they look back on it with such fondness and nostalgia. They do that because they remember the good things. They don't necessarily remember the bad things. We didn't have smartphones back then. Man, I'll never be bored again because I have my smartphone. I love it. Anyway, so maybe I can finally do that yoga class, but I probably won't. HDTV. Gonna stay home and watch Modern Family. So, wow, HDTV, yeah. I think this was around, I guess, when HDTV started coming out. But that speaks to, you know, and I've felt that where, you know, when I've had the office job and I work like 9 to 5 and it's a Friday and you get home, you know, and I'll work out Friday night. After the workout, it's just, I just want to fucking lay down and watch TV. I don't want to go out, especially when it's cold. I just want to be rested in my cocoon because this week has been hell. I've been tired this whole goddamn week. I just want to be in my cocoon and watch TV and forget what happened this whole week. So I get it. I get being in that cocoon. Now, my job doesn't, I don't really live by that Monday through Friday paradigm, man. I don't. So a Monday through Friday thing is kind of, you know, it's not what it used to be. So like it'll be a Friday night at work and like I'll say to the customer, say, hey, how's everybody doing? And they'll say, yeah, thank God it's Friday. And I'm like, yeah, you know, meanwhile, I'm working Friday. It doesn't matter, you know, and maybe I'll have Saturday off, but then I'll have to work on Sunday. So it's just different. I mean, I feel a lot better physically. And then, you know, I can always go out after work or, you know, and work, we're encouraged to, we have staff drinks because we have so many drinks, we're encouraged to, you know, we can have a drink for free just to taste everything so we can explain it to the customer. So, you know, every once in a while, I don't do it every night or every day, but, you know, I'll drink with my coworkers and that's kind of like my night out. And then, you know, I try to make it a point to go out on whatever day or night I have off, provided something's going on. So, but yeah, I understand. And that that wanting to stay home. Oh my God. I would force myself to go out sometimes on Friday nights. Saturday nights were good because you're all rested, but then Sunday comes and you want to get everything together for the week. And then you have to get to bed early Sunday after staying up late Friday and Saturday. And then comes that dread that I felt when I was at school. Still going to school. It's like, I have class tomorrow. I have school tomorrow. I don't want to go. And working those office jobs, it's like, I have work tomorrow. I don't want to go. And I don't feel that now. I don't mind going to my job. I enjoy it. But I've been there where it's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Do I have to go? Please, I don't want to go. And it's just that feeling of dread. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And then we move on to tonight. We're not young. Gonna get our shit together. Be less distracted. Words with Friends. So for those who don't know, I don't know if Words with Friends is still popular, but it was a hugely popular app maybe 5 years ago, where it's like Scrabble, and you get to play Scrabble with friends, but virtually. I've seen people play it. I never actually got it, but a lot of people were addicted to it. But that's such a great lyric because it's like, tonight we're not young, gonna get our shit together, be less distracted. And all of a sudden they're distracted by Words with Friends. And I've been there. You know, the bad part about smartphones is that it's fucking distracting, where it's like, all right, I'm gonna focus. I'm gonna write that song. I'm gonna write that novel. I actually did it. I'm gonna see if I can include it in the podcast link. I did a very, very, very last minute short sketch on my iPhone. No preparation. I just kind of started recording myself. It's called Distracticon. And it was just about, you know, a guy, my character. And meanwhile, I was filming myself. So it was like a selfie, but with video. All spur of the moment thing. And then I edited it together because even though I didn't know how to edit video. But so it was the premise of it was that I played a guy and I'm going to write very, a lot of exposition in it, but it was a guy saying, I'm going to write the great American novel and I can't wait to start writing. And then it's like, ooh, I have to iron my sheets. And then the next scene is something like, I'm going to write the next greatest song and, what's on TV? Something like that. I don't even remember my own thing. So the TV being so great, with so many options to watch and your Facebook calling you, saying you have 7 notifications and you have to check to see if your ex-girlfriend from college liked your post about Obama. You want that validation. You want to see if someone retweeted your tweet or liked your, I don't have an Instagram or whoever, you liked your Instagram photo. So that validation is distracting you from things that you want to do. And I've had friends who have gotten off, completely off the grid because they've had problems that they just don't get anything done. So good for them, I guess. So the next lyrics are, tonight, we're not young. It's time to get my prostate checked. Now, I didn't think you get your prostate checked until you're 50, but maybe the people in this song have some kind of hereditary problem, they have to get their prostate checked, but I thought it's like not until you're 45 or 50, so I don't know what they're talking about with that. I'm a nervous wreck. That's not all. So yeah, you know, getting back to the anxiety and depression, and yeah, man, it's especially the more responsibilities you have, the more nervous you are. And even if you have no responsibility, the responsibility of coming up with money to pay your bills. You know, I'm in New York, and you know, in the New York City area, you know, even on Long Island, rent is not cheap, you know, so it's, you're working a job that may not pay much and you're trying to pay rent. And meanwhile, you have all these other bills and responsibilities to do. So yeah, of course you're going to be a nervous wreck because you're in debt. And then it goes, apply to grad school tonight. These are things where it's like, okay, I'm in my 30s. This job isn't working out. Let me try and do something else. So yeah, apply to grad school. I would love to go back for my master's, like what I was talking about before. But man, you know, the time and the money. Yoga teacher training tonight. I know someone who is trained to be a yoga teacher, and I don't even think she does it. And she was good too. But you know, she has a job where she makes, you know, a good amount of money doing it. I guess there's not enough money in yoga teaching. Real estate test tonight. As an actor, I know a few actors who, after, it's where actors go to die. They go to real estate. They become real estate agents. You know, I guess it fits into the actor's personality. You're selling, you're personable to people. You know, that's why the hospitality industry is good for actors and you know, creatives, entertainment people in general. So real estate test tonight, I know people like that. Improv class tonight, I know people in improv groups. Did I ever have to go? No, I was invited, and I'm always invited to their improv classes. And, you know, it's a great thing to do, if that's what you enjoy. But, yeah, you know, it's trying to find purpose. You know, plays, too. You know, people putting on plays or, you know, movies and film festivals. It's like, it sucks because, you know, you see them doing this, trying to live their passion, but, you know, they're working other jobs. You know, if you're in an improv class that's, like, $2, $5, or it's free, putting on a play that's not that much, or, you know, in front of, like, 20 people, or at a film festival, you know, that's very, very small. And then it breaks to, you know, the improv class, and they're doing, like, a funny improv, well, like, making fun of an improv exercise. And the next lyrics are, might have a drinking problem, I got a DUI, so someone come and drive me home tonight. I have friends with problems, with drinking problems, drug problems. I know people who have gotten DWIs and DUIs. It's not fun, folks. It's not getting a DWI. I never got one, but I have friends who have, and it's not good. You have to go through a lot of shit. A lot of classes, a lot of court dates, your license. There's a reason why you go through that much, because you're lucky you didn't kill anybody. So yeah, you know, and I think, you know, being on Long Island where you drive everywhere and with everything so stressful, you want to drink to relieve that stress and you're having a good time. Then you don't want to take a cab because cabs are expensive. You don't want to take a train because it's inconvenient. You just want to drive home. You just want to go home and go to sleep. But, you know, and as a bartender, I'm just trained in blood alcohol level. So you can have one drink and then 5 minutes later drive. And then if a cop pulls you over, smells alcohol in your breath and gives you a breathalyzer test, your blood alcohol level can be above 0.08 because of the time that's passed, especially with these stronger beers these days, stronger alcohol, these stronger drinks, and you can be legally drunk even though you may feel fine. So please be careful with this kind of thing. Don't drink at all when you're driving, you know. That's my public service announcement for today's podcast. Next lyrics, I need health insurance. I got a dental, that can't be right. I think it's, I got a dental sty. I thought the lyrics were, I let dental slide, but either or. So I need health insurance. Yeah. You know, thank goodness, Obamacare. Thank you. I realize it was a conservative idea. It was Romney Care, even though conservatives won't admit that. And it really, really needs to be improved. It really does. There are problems. And the way to improve that is universal health care. But this is a good first step. So even if Romney was president and implemented this, which Republicans would have celebrated as the greatest thing ever, but because Obama did it, they're not. But regardless, my job doesn't offer health insurance. And if Obamacare didn't exist, I would have to live with my parents because I wouldn't be able to afford the health insurance. It'd be a lot. It'd be a lot of money. So anyway, yeah. So I don't need health insurance, but sure, there are people who don't have adequate health insurance based on what they need. And dental, you know, I let that slide all the time. I need to make a dentist appointment because you want to go. That's just more time doing things you don't want to do. Ugh. I just want to do things I want to do. And I'm really going to start that blog. That's great. That's a great callback to it because you're just procrastinating. You're so fucking tired and you're so depressed. You just, the things you want to do, you don't even have the strength to do them anymore. So, you know, I try to make it a point to release an episode of this podcast like once a week. I would love to do it every other day or every day, you know, but it's just time. So this podcast keeps me grounded, you know, creatively, and it keeps me grounded by having a purpose, and it keeps me grounded because, you know, it's a fun thing to do. So the next lyric is, tonight we are scared, so let's just oh my God. So this is where they all start freaking out. And I've had those freak out moments where I'm like, ah, where like one little thing sets me off. Meanwhile, it's just one little thing, but it's just, it triggers just a culmination of a lifetime of just being disheartened and failures and everything that you're stressed and mad about in your whole life gets triggered and you just scream. And I think the older you get, the more you tend to scream. And then it goes, tonight, we're not young. We've accomplished almost nothing. I feel that way sometimes, but then I have to look back and the things I have accomplished. And then, you know, my real depressed state, it's like, well, who cares? Nobody's seen that or nobody's done that or, you know, nobody's seen that and I haven't done that much and blah, blah, blah. And you start to just, you know, punish yourself and go down on yourself. But then you really have to look at the things you've accomplished, not just professionally, not just creatively, not just with your passion, but personally. You know, maybe you've helped someone. Maybe you've made someone laugh. Maybe you've, you know, been sunshine on a person's otherwise cloudy day. Maybe you lent an ear to a person who was, you know, not doing so well. You know, maybe you were just there for someone. Maybe you helped watch someone's kid. Maybe you, you know, took someone out for dinner because they were feeling down. Maybe you had a good time with some friends. Maybe you laughed so hard that you cried, you know. Maybe you were at a dinner party with cheese plates and just had those moments where it's like, you know, this is great. I'm with people who I love. I'm with people who I care about, and we're having a good time. You know, forget everything that's going on in the world right now. Just we're having a good time with each other. So try and do that. I understand that feeling of, what the hell have I done? How did I get here? You know, like that Talking Heads song. How did I get here? So the next line is, I have no money. Yes, 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 yes. Plenty of people are broke, are in debt, and mounds of debt, student loans, credit card debt, everything. Can't pay their rent, car payments, electric bills, all that. Yeah. Where's my gun? You know, back to, I'm going to kill myself. I'm sure they mean it figuratively, not literally. And then the last lyrics are, so if by the time I'm 40 and I'm still a waiter here, oh, please, God, I don't even want to imagine it tonight. Well, tell you what, buddies, I don't have to imagine it because I'm living it. But no, it's yeah, it based on the jobs I've had, this is actually pretty good. So not my passion, but listen, I'm still exploring that, and I'll still explore and pursue that until the day I die. What else do I got to do, right? So well, what you can do is check out my Twitter. I'm at Mike Lane Act. That's MikeLaneAct on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at Mike Lane Actor. You can email me at MikeLaneAct@yahoo.com. And I'm going to put a link to the sketchy We're Not Young parody, because it really needs to be seen. You know, watch it before the podcast, watch it after the podcast, do whatever you want, man. Go for it. So thanks for listening, everyone. So tonight I'm actually gonna go to a dear friend's birthday party upstate, so I'm looking forward to that. So you know, I'll forget about things for a while, and you know, I'm just gonna have some good times with friends. And even if you're not having a good time, you know, I've been there. I'm going through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. You know, I hope this podcast gave you a little bit of relief and a little bit of company. So I'm there for you all. And yeah, please contact me. Do your thing. And until next time, everyone. All right. Bye. Take care.